Welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, episode 112. This is your host, Jonathan Metz. I'm here with our usual crew, wonderful, beloved crew, John, James, and Greg.
Hi.
I'm loved.
You know them. You love them. There's no need to say anything else.
Except for John.
And,
you don't love him.
I love John. We'll get
he
into
does.
That later. So, we...
That's we got to get into that.
Bad choice of words, Johnny.
No,
you two can get into that on your own time.
We've got a news roundup coming up later in the show, but first we're going to start, as usual, with new business, and I never go first, so I'm going first. Fuck it. This week,
well, right?
You set the order, Johnny. You can go whenever you want.
I know. I'm just saying.
What
I'm
he's
taking
saying
my turn
is he wants
is going
to go
first,
first I... every week, but he reins it in. But this week, he can't be bothered to rein it in.
So he's going go balls out this week. I'm going first.
I'm just taking my due turn. So I've played a couple things this week that sort of relate to Nintendo games. I actually played them both on my Xbox, but I thought they would be interesting to the audience, and you'll see why in a sec. The first one was Bionic Commando Rearmed. Now, have any of you guys downloaded this yet?
No.
Yes, sir.
No for James. James still doesn't have Geometry Wars yet, so he doesn't count.
Poser.
Poser?
Well,
dude, I'm calling you out right here.
Actually, I'm more than happy to bring up Bionic Commando because there's actually a version on PC. So even if you're not a Wii 60 owner, as you should be, you can... I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably have a PC that can run it. So I don't know where you would download from Capcom's website, I guess. But I think it's like $15 on the PC, but it's an amazing game. You should definitely get it. But... so anyway, I mean, obviously, the reason this relates to Nintendo is because it's a remake of an NES game. Bionic Commando started in the arcade, but the arcade version was shit, okay? So when they brought it to NES, they completely remade it and made it awesome. It's like one of the best NES games. And this is like a really beautiful remake of it with some new content, but for the most part, it's a pretty faithful remake, and with just a lot of little tweaks and improvements here and there. I mean, in scope, I'd say it's similar to what they did with Final Fantasy IV on DS, in that it's got completely new graphics. The game itself is the same, but there's a lot of little things they've added to make it, you know, slightly more strategic, or to give you a couple extra abilities that you didn't have in the original that make it a little more interesting in different places. But I mean, it's fantastic. It's really difficult. John, I mean, what are your thoughts on it, man?
I mean, I've just played the tutorial of it, but and it's one of those things where it's, you know, I figured, hey, you know, it's kind of a remake. It's like a straight remake of an NES game, and so I thought it would be fairly simple, but it's actually, even the tutorial, there's some parts in there that are pretty darn difficult, so I can just imagine how it gets, especially later on in the game.
Apparently, though, the tutorial's actually harder. I've heard this, that the tutorial's actually kind of ridiculously difficult compared to even the game.
Well, the thing is, they do present you with some of the most advanced kind of, you know, claw sort of work in the game.
Yeah,
so.
they want to show you like how to do things like shoot it out horizontally as you're falling, so you can catch on to platforms. I think that in the tutorial they want to introduce you to those things before you need them, because like that stuff. It is advanced, but you're not going to beat the game without knowing how to do that. You're just not. Yeah. It's a hard game and. The timing is pretty demanding. You usually have like less than a second window to shoot out your arm, or else you're not going to catch the ledge. Mm-hmm. But it is challenging. But I think it's kind of one of those skill-based things where even if you're not good at it right from the beginning, or if you've never played the original game, if you spend enough time with it, you will learn how to do it.
Yeah.
It's not like it requires some innate talent that you either have or you don't have. It just takes some practice. And I've had 15, 20 years of practice on this game because I played the NES version, I played the Game Boy Color remake, and then I played the NES version again on Game Boy Advance with Capcom Classics Mini Mix, which is a pretty good little compilation, actually. But actually, it made me think of the Game Boy Color remake because Nintendo actually developed that at NST in Redmond, and they published it, even though it's a Capcom brand. I don't know why Nintendo got involved in remaking that for Game Boy Color, but it's a really good remake. It's, I mean, it's different than this one, obviously. It's totally, it's a completely different project, but it's interesting. This game's already been remade once before by Nintendo. And actually, it, that reminded me that I was playing that game on Game Boy Color when I first met John Lindemann.
Really?
Do you remember that? We were sitting on the floor waiting to get into E3 at like 7 in the morning back in 2001. We were like sitting in a circle waiting for them to open the door on the first day of E3, and I had out my Game Boy Color and I was playing it, and you were like, oh, that looks really cool. You'd never seen it before.
I remember that. I remember. I definitely remember sitting outside.
That's not the moral of the story here, John.
No. Well, that's the thing. I don't remember exactly what game. I mean,
what's the first thing to go again, John?
Definitely the brain. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But you, and the metal. You do remember, John. You do remember later that night when we went to the Sapphire party,
yes.
And then afterwards we went to In-N-Out in Hollywood, and you called me cynical bastard.
Yes.
Or maybe I called you cynical bat. We both are. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but
that's how you became known as the CB.
Memories. Jeez.
We're walking down memory lane here, boys.
Yeah.
Take notes.
Yeah.
We've been left behind in the gutter.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
The two of you were sort of wielding the word cynical like two handguns in a John Woo movie or something. That's
you guys weren't even born yet when we were at E3. No.
I'm not Carl.
yeah, for real. So anyway, I've really been enjoying the Bionic Commando Rearmed. And again, if you've played the original and you really like it, and you don't have a 360, you should check it out on PC because it's pretty awesome. It's definitely worth seeking out. I also played, I borrowed a copy of Panzer Dragoon Orta from a friend. This was an original Xbox game, but it's backwards compatible on 360. And it's kind of a game that I wanted. I think it came out originally in like 2003, maybe. And it's a game that I was always interested in when it came out. You know, it's not an RPG like Panzer Dragoon Saga for Saturn. It's back to the action game. And it's one of these flying shooting games that, you know, I tend to like this kind of stuff, like Rogue Squadron or whatever. But actually, once I started playing it, I realized that it's really similar to Star Fox. Like, the good Star Fox stuff, you know, like the original and most of 64, where you're flying straight forward, you've got the scripted level, and you can move your character around in a limited fashion based on where you aim, but mostly it's aiming, you know? And there's some dodging of obstacles and shots and stuff, but it's actually really similar to Star Fox 64 in that you have regular laser shots and homing lasers that you lock on with, It's really cool. It's very beautiful for a last-gen game. And I think, you know, if you're like a Wii 60 owner, you might want to go look for this if you're a fan of Star Fox, because it's probably a game that you know, like me, that you probably missed out on. But if you like Star Fox, I think you're really going to like this. Again,
it got really good reviews, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's a little,
I mean, I can see why. It's really impressive. It's well-made. It's beautiful. It's damn hard. But it's great. Yeah,
I mean, it's a series you'd kind of like to see come to Wii in terms of maybe using the pointer controls and stuff like that, actually, you know, something.
I was going to say that, but I'm glad you did.
This
series could totally be revived on Wii.
This is one case where I actually did get, a friend of mine had a Saturn quite early on. I played through quite a lot of the original Panzer Dragoon, and this was obviously before Star Fox 64, so it was kind of like more mind-blowing, because it was like, this is sort of like the original Star Fox, which I liked, but not with, you know, origami graphics. So, I mean, it was a little easy, like, for me at the time. I don't think I was playing it on a difficult setting, though, so that could have been easily cured. But I can imagine that, you know, this series would be right up my alley. And, you know, I mean, it's just way... This kind of game's made for Wii, in terms of you do it right with the pointer and all that. It could be sort of faster and more intense than you've had it before on any system, you know, because the controls are so much more fluid and responsive. It's just, and it's, since there's Nintendo, you know, doesn't seem particularly interested in doing something with Star Fox, don't necessarily know what Treasure's doing, you know, maybe Sega should jump in and give it a go.
Yeah, and the development team was Smilebit, and I'm not sure that they even exist
anymore.
They
do not, if I recall correctly.
I know they made, like, Spike Cannon or something like that for Xbox, and they made a couple things back last gen, but I don't think they exist anymore. So, I mean, I'm sure Sega still owns the rights. They could make it if they wanted
to. Yeah. I mean, it's a Sega franchise.
I mean, they could commission Treasure to do it, and they've worked together plenty of times in the past.
That's a good point. It's done.
It's substantially easier to find a copy of Orta than it is what Greg was talking about earlier, Saga.
I was talking about the original. Simply Panzer Dragoon.
That's hard to get to. And then it had a sequel that was also a shooter called Panzer Dragoon Zwei. They all have this weird German kind of aesthetic.
Saturn games are notoriously rare pieces of gaming lore.
Yeah. And Saga is one of the more difficult games to get.
I'm
looking at an eBay auction right now just for disc one of Saga, $100.
I had a friend who owned it, actually, and I saw it, but I never really got to play it, because it's an RPG. I mean, you don't pick it up for 5 minutes, you know. I would have had to borrow the entire system and everything, and I just never got the chance to.
But the Sega Saturn was such a fantastic system.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. That, like, all those Saturn games, they would seem ripe for release on something like Virtual Console or, something like that now, or some compilation.
Saturn is almost an impossible piece of hardware to emulate.
Right. So, unfortunately, those games are just going to have to get remade if we're ever to play them again at all, which is too bad.
That's part of the problems the Saturn had, was its hardware is just so completely insane.
I think it was kind of a patchwork thing.
Well,
it
was
like
originally
going
to be a 2D console, and then they realized when the PlayStation was announced, they had to make it 3D. So they retroactively went back and made a console designed for 2D games 3D, and then they slapped a CD-ROM drive on top of it. Oh, it already had a cartridge slot. And then they just pushed it out the door and announced that at a press conference, it's out right now.
Yeah, the launch is sudden. And
it was quite a mess.
In retrospect, it got more ports than you would have thought. Like stuff Symphony of the Night and Resident Evil. You just would have thought, why would you bother?
Capcom
Mega
ported
Man 8 too.
Mega Man 8, Mega Man X4, Mega Man X3.
Well, I guess the 2D games make some sort of sense, like Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
There were cases of like 3D versions, 3D games getting ports to Saturn. It's like, why?
But they were generally regarded as really weak ports.
Well, they were, but the developers and the publishers still made the decision to do it. And when you discover now that it was really difficult to do, and obviously the Saturn didn't really do very well in the West at all, and it was a modest success in Japan, it's kind of strange to me.
Well, I think at the time Sony was still such an unknown in the field that people didn't want to
It was the more dependable brand at the time, possibly.
I didn't expect to start a conversation about the Saturn, but that's how we roll.
By the way, Panzer Dragoon Saga still has how long is the bid time left on this one? Long, $229 already.
Wow. Yeah, ouch.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not even including the obscure system you'd have to get to play it on. But that's mostly what I played this week. I played a little Final Fantasy. I actually picked up Zack and Wiki. I hadn't played it in a while. It was. I don't want to get too deep into this. It was sort of an emotional thing for me to pick it back up, because that was a game that I played with my ex. And we, like, pretty much, I think it had like 18 hours on there, and almost all of that was played together. So, you know, it's been a couple months since that ended, and I'm ready to go back into it. Now I can play it unattached. So, I'm near the end, and I got past the part where you have to like infiltrate the pirate ship, the airship, and that level is really annoying. That's a level where I started to think, you know, James has a point here, because do you know what I'm talking about, James?
I recall that particular area.
Me too, as well. Yeah, I remember it pretty vividly, because I played it probably more recently than you did, James.
Yeah,
it's very trial and error based, it's not at all clear from. And the thing is, I mean, a lot of the stages are sort of trial and error, but if you make a mistake, you don't die.
Yeah,
you just lose some
most,
Harami Q points. Yeah, and in that level, if you make a mistake, they will catch you, and you have to restart. It's a long level. So, towards the end, every time I made a mistake, I was like, I don't want to play through this whole thing again. So, I ended up using, like, three or four revives. And you know, that it ruins your score. It's kind of annoying. Those things are expensive to replace. It's like, I could have done without that level.
Yeah,
and it's different from the levels around it. You know, it's kind of a unique situation. But yeah, I didn't care for it much. So I'm glad now that I'm back to the more standard format of the way the levels are done in the game. But, I mean, I still like it. And I played some more Tokitori. Actually had gotten stuck for a while, but my friend Kevin, who gifted it to me, he was in town this weekend, and he came over and basically helped me get unstuck on a couple levels. So now I'm actually right now about the same place he is, so I probably can't depend on him again. But that game gets hard really fast. Like, the first half of the game, the first two of the four worlds, are pretty easy. I went through them, and there were a couple I had to replay two or three times before I figured it out, but it wasn't anything really taxing. And then you get to world three, and, like, right off the bat, it's brutal. It's way harder than before. So I actually had to use my wild card, and even then, the next level after that, I just had no idea. And there were a couple little tricks in combining items that I had to figure out before I could move on. But, you know, I'm still enjoying that a lot. And just, I mentioned this in TalkBack for last week's episode, but just to have an apology on the air, Nick DeMola actually reviewed that game. I was saying that I thought somebody had signed up for it, but they never actually wrote the review. He did post the review like 2 months ago. And
nice.
I think I'd actually read it and then forgotten about it. So I just want to apologize
well, you
for
didn't
Nick.
You
yeah,
didn't
it's
buy
a good
the
review.
Game already, then, you know, so... It was given to you, so I guess it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Well, see yeah. Johnny...
But it's
sorry.
A good
next
review.
Thing,
you should check it out if you want to know more.
See, the thing is, the next thing you have to do is the next time Nick is on the podcast, you have to make sure you correct how he says something, and that would just make the entire thing complete.
Fuck you.
Jonathan Pizantmets.
James, you're next, please.
All right. I'm not going to talk about Ace Combat, even though that's what I played most of the week.
Oh, well, thanks for that. Yeah, really. Yes. Such restraint. Such
look,
small
kindnesses are the best.
I only talked about it at length for two episodes, which isn't as bad as what we've done with some other games.
That's true.
So,
but those other games were on Nintendo systems.
Not all of them. Not all of them. There have been games we talked about at length that were not on Nintendo systems. But
like what?
Moving on. For today actually I got my next review game.
Oh, it's here it comes.
Here it is.
You wanna not ruin the drama?
It's
I'm building the drama,
dungeon.
Work with me.
okay. It is King of Clubs Mini Golf.
One of my worst games of E3.
Yes, I did not know that when I picked it, but I knew it was bad because it's a PS2 port, and there's already a review out there. So I figured I could go ahead and just get a game that I could slam mercilessly. But I didn't realize at the time that it was published by Crave Entertainment, which is a bad sign, but it was developed by Oxygen Games, which would be a... yeah, Greg.
Greg's favorite studio.
Yes, yeah. Greg's old friends. They actually included a letter in the game packaging, which I've learned to completely disregard when getting a letter from the publisher regarding the game they're sending you to review.
Yep.
Because generally they talk about how revolutionary the game is, and you get, you're like, wow, this isn't good.
Yeah.
This could be one such example. I've only played...
So...
I've played through about two sets of golf courses so far.
How are those motion controls,
they
James?
They suck. They are the worst golf... I mean, how the fuck do you screw them up? Nintendo had a launch game with better motion controls than this.
Oh, dude, they're atrocious.
Just copy Wii Sports. Just do that. It's
and
not that hard.
The graphics are really bad, too. It looks like a PS1 game.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's really, really
ugly.
There
were some moments in the graphics where I started chuckling, but... let me put this in perspective. To swing your golf club. All right, you aim with the D-pad, so you point the area you want to go in. So it's a little bit like the Mario Golf games, and that's where it ends. You press A to lock in your vector, and then you swing the club, supposedly, and your meter will go up at the bottom, supposedly. This doesn't always happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it shoots all the way to the end. Sometimes it just hangs around at the bottom, regardless of how much you move it from center. And
well, the funny thing was the guy at E3 who was demoing this for me, and I tried it myself too, but he was giving really mixed messages on how the game controls. Because at first he was like, you know, you just kind of shake it upwards.
No.
to swing.
Tried that, didn't
he
work.
He was like, he was basically telling me I should like waggle it to build up the power meter, and then like follow through to actually do the swing. But it was a total mess. It didn't make any sense.
But what happens is, all right, so you build it up on the meter, then you press the A button to lock it in, your strength, and then you swing back towards the ball, or which would basically be zero, and you hit it. That never works. Now, the problem is you have to know to hold A as you swing back. Otherwise, your power bar immediately disappears and you're back at zero, and you don't hit the golf ball. Sometimes you slip off the A button because you're swinging back. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes the game just doesn't care. Sometimes you can actually swing away from the ball, so up, like where you want the ball to go. The game still feels like you're swinging against the ball. You swing back down, so you should be hitting the ball backwards, and it goes forwards. And
it's almost 1-to-1.
If by 1-to-1 you mean it feels like you are being smacked by one golf club in your one head every time you swing it, then yes, it is 1-to-1.
Yeah. It sounds more like number 2 to me.
Yes.
Wow.
But
didn't take long for the doo-doo jokes to start on this
come
episode.
On, something deserve it.
But
yes,
but,
I
so,
agree.
So if you really want to see
more like King of Flubs,
if
right?
you really want to see some broken graphics though, if you hold the A button before you set your power, your character goes into this stutter motion. So you're emaciated Barack Obama with a DJ Jazzy Jeff haircut, wearing his members only jacket and his 3D goggles, like jerks around with the club as opposed to actually moving.
That's just your me, isn't it?
No. No. No.
Not at all.
That's me integration, third-party me
this
integration.
This game features, according to the instructions, 6 characters. I guess you unlock them because I've seen nowhere to choose your character.
So it draws a sharp contrast to We Love Golf, which Greg discussed last
week. Yes, I'm stuck playing as Senator Jazzy Jeff as I go through these god-awful courses. And the first set was actually prehistoric-based, and it had one song for all 18 holes twice over, because there's 2 sets of golf courses in the prehistoric theme, and they all sounded like Jason Rishi had swallowed his harmonica and his backup band was having to play through some jazz music on the electric guitar over and over again for 18 holes. And that is the entire song. Looped over and over and over and over. And so I wanted to just jam the Wii Remote into my ear so I didn't have to hear it anymore. But I figured the game would construe that as a strong stroke and send the ball flying into the air.
Maybe you should play it while you edit this podcast this week.
Yeah, that'll be a great idea.
So you don't have to listen to the music.
But the actual event that took place that caused my head to explode was the 7 times in a row DJ Jazzy Jeff announced, "I'm taking my balls and going home." Every time the ball went in the wrong direction, "I'm taking my balls and going home." I'm like, what?
Is this Jazzy Jeff or Mr. T?
I swear when I saw the 3D goggles.
Well, you see, Greg, America is a melting pot.
The 3D goggles are what made
me
just
so even though you
were
apparently somebody who is even thinner than Barack Obama, you can sound like Mr. T.
Yes. Yes, it's an
Obama's a pretty skinny guy. Exactly. I mean, this character must be really wide.
Like
the only reason this character has any mass whatsoever is his 1980s members only jacket. That's it. Everything else.
I think I actually remember this character from E3.
Yeah,
it sounds familiar.
I'm pretty sure this character, if rendered properly, would offend someone. But it's not. So thankfully, Crave has avoided that landmine. Now, Greg.
They've avoided the uncanny valley,
Greg,
by creating an uncanny character.
Tell me, where's Oxygen Games at?
I think it's got a bunch of different sort of like.
Oh, good. Stuff, you mean they don't have one location where they spew out the crap?
Yeah.
Nice.
And sometimes they publish games they don't develop. So, you know.
Why?
Wow.
But
I'm
looking at the back of the game box in my hands. And at the top of the screen, it has Wii Remote with number 4 on it, so it's 4 players, if you can find 4 people who will let you subject them to this. And next to it is the Nunchuck. At no point have I found the game even recognize the Nunchuck being attached to the Wii Remote. It doesn't even acknowledge me pressing buttons on it or using the the control stick. It's just like, what's this? It doesn't acknowledge the thing's presence. So the only reason it can justify being on the back of this box is the warning message tells you to clip it into the our wristband strap.
All right, so let me give you a really strange piece of information related to this game.
Oh, good.
This was actually the first of two mini golf games I played for Wii at E3. The other one, which I don't think I've mentioned on the podcast before, was Carnival Games Mini Golf.
Oh,
and despite the Leary brand name, it was way better than King of Clubs.
I would hope it is.
I'm not kidding. It was. I mean, it looked amazing in compare, and it felt a lot better too. So, I mean, I can understand wanting a mini golf game on the Wii. You know, like yeah, it totally yeah. makes sense, and that could be a really fun party game. It's just it fits the demo. The control should be natural. It's just no one's really done it yet. And I would say if you're looking for a mini golf game on the Wii, you might want to wait and look into the Carnival Games thing. I mean, I can't say whether it's gonna turn out well or not, but it definitely demoed far better at E3 than King of Clubs.
One thing I'd like to say about this game, and as I over dissect the game, I only played for about an hour, is that the back of the game.
You doing that? At least you played it and you dissected.
The back
it,
of the game is bizarre. It's all right. So at the bottom, you know, they have all the legal information and copyright stuff. They went and drew boxes around everything, and one of the boxes contains this phrase: "Important" in red. Unauthorized technical modification to your Wii console may render this game unplayable. It's funny they mentioned that, because the first three times I put this game into my console, it didn't play.
Ooh.
But every other game I put in there was playing. This game finally started playing. I was like, what the hell?
Maybe it's on a dual-layer disc like Smash Brothers.
No, it's not. And Smash Brothers is one of the games I tested. I think my Wii was like, no, stop. Don't do this to me.
How much space left over do you have when you put a PS1 game on a dual laser?
I know.
Seriously.
You have enough space to actually put the souls that had to be sacrificed for this game to be released.
Okay, well, we better wrap up James's crazy rant for this week.
It's not crazy rant. This game's just bad.
No, you're right. You're right. Everything you've said, I consider fair based on what I saw. Although, I only saw it for 5 minutes. You've had the misfortune of playing it for 1 hour and knowing that you've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, one more thing to point out, though. The autosave doesn't work. So I played through two courses. And then I came back to play it a little bit tonight so I could get my burnt, right? And my progress was gone.
So can you save manually or can you not save at all?
I don't know.
Well, this will be interesting.
I do know I just lost.
We might be looking at like a 1 out of 10 here or something.
Yeah.
if it literally just doesn't work.
Yeah,
we
might be going there.
Technically.
I think we might be going that way. If I can't save my game. If I can't find a way to save my game, I will give this game a 1 out of 10. No questions asked.
I think that puts you in the jurisdiction of the ones and twos.
I might start targeting the 0.5s if we don't lose those before I get the game out.
Was it Big Rigs? Was that the one that was one of the worst games ever?
It got a 0, yes.
Well, okay. I mean, Big Rigs is not on.
It's a
PC.
It's
a PC game. Yeah, GameSpot. I think GameSpot gave it a 1.
No,
that was their lowest.
Was that one of those ones that got ported to Wii in Europe or something? Like,
I hope not.
I don't think so. No. Big Rigs is like 5 years old.
No.
Well,
GameSpot
that, not that
didn't
that would
give it a 1.
They refused
to give it a score.
Because
the review was just it doing terrible things and then them going to Alex Navarro looking disgusted.
Well, the video review of Big Rigs is priceless, and if you've never seen it, it is a must-see. You have to go to GameSpot and search for Big Rigs and watch the video review. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Because
that game is insane. Basically, among other amazing features of the game, if you drive in reverse, there's no maximum speed for your truck. So basically, you can as long as you drive in reverse and then like use the rear view option, you can you can basically win every race in 5 seconds by driving at light speed.
No, it doesn't matter because you'll win every race anyway because your opponent never leaves the starting line. It just sits there.
And it's not even a racing game. It's a drive game.
And when you do win the race, you're greeted with a really terrible graphic that reads your YOU'RE winner.
Nice.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, the video review is must-see. It's incredible. But, oh, James, if you haven't played anything else, we should move on to Greg.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, well, I guess I'm going to try and rub it in on James's room while he was on two levels here. First of all, I've still been playing an actually quite good golf game. We love golf. The controls work.
Are you reviewing that, Greg? Right?
Well, I'm not currently scheduled to review it because the other sense that I'm going to rub this in is my next review game is going to be Bangaio when I get
oh,
it.
Which
I don't, obviously, you know, I'm going to remain entirely objective and reviewing the game, but I'm going to call it now and say it's probably going to be better than King of Clubs. So
I hope you turn it on and the game just kills your DS and you can't use any other games in it. So much, and then you have to give it a zero.
So much for journalistic integrity.
Yeah, I know. I've sold out my objectivity just to say it's better than Game Club.
I hope it just formats your entire bio system for the DS, and you have to give it a zero now.
Yeah, well, you never know. But I'm going to tread back from that limb to talk. Just quickly wrap up on We Love Golf from last week. I'd definitely say playing the later courses are a lot more interesting. There's a lot more sort of difficulty, and you know, the obstacles are sort of more wacky. And it never gets quite as wacky as the later courses in the Mario games, which had like chain chomps and pipes and all sorts of crazy stuff. But it gets you know much more sort of interesting than the early courses, which is just broad fairways and nothing much at all really to write home about. Not even the greens are almost exclusively flat early on. So it really kind of ramps up, and that's good. You know, that it gets a lot more interested in that regard. And then when you've got the full-powered characters, there's much more of a risk-reward thing going on in terms of if you want to use a power shot, the timing's a lot more difficult. If you screw up the timing, you've had it. You're probably going out of bounds or something. So it's just a much more interesting game once you finally get through all the layers and to the sort of the kind of level that you want to play at if you've got an aptitude or a like for these kinds of games. And I guess speaking of Mii integration, it does have it in it, actually. So this is one of the third-party games that Nintendo has deigned to be sort of worthy of having Mii's in it, although predictably it's unlockable, much as it was in Mario Kart. Don't you think it's just like for people that want to use Mii's, like they really want to unlock using Mii's, it just seems like the last thing that should be unlockable.
Something like if I wanted to play it with my mom, she would probably want to play with her Mii.
Yeah, off the bat.
You know, she's only going to play it a couple times, probably. Or, you know, I mean, at least I'm going to have to get her into it. She's not going to care as much about the built-in characters.
So,
it just seems like one of those things that should be there.
It's more inexplicable in Mario Golf. Sorry, Mario Kart, for me, because I think it was more difficult. Like, I mean, it's
no,
not
because,
particularly difficult.
No, because Nintendo wants you to experience Baby Daisy.
But it's just I find that a weird decision, but it's in there if you want to play with your Mii. I think you can take your Mii online as well, which brings into all those pitfalls that we've seen with Mario Kart Wii. I don't know how they managed to censor any of that stuff, if at all, but I guess the main thing about it is definitely in the end the motion controls work. They're pretty consistent and they're kind of satisfying. Though it's not one-to-one or anything, so don't expect that at all. It does get more sort of challenging and interesting towards the end, but the one-player content is just beyond going through the tedium unlocking. It's not sufficient to warrant a purchase, really, for me. I mean, you've got the stuff that's been in it for, like Ring Shot and so, which has some clever little level designs and it's kind of funny and stuff, but really, you know, this is purely a multiplayer game in terms of lasting appeal. It hasn't got the kind of robust options that you'd have in a Tiger game or anything like that for one player. So if you've got somebody that likes this kind of game, you know, that you could play it with, maybe think about it. Other than that, it's probably not substantial enough.
So it's 1 to 4 players, right?
Yeah, it's 4 players. Okay. So you've got online as well. So
there is online modes.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit last week. So I haven't been able to use it a great deal, but it's got a decent amount of features in terms of the multiplayer. It doesn't have what the N64 Mario Golf had, which was a mini golf mode, which I would have thought would be sort of interesting.
I remember that. Yeah. It was really fun.
I thought they'd reprise it for the sort of Wii audience. actually. But
do you remember that Wario? You remember it had this feature where when it wasn't your turn in mini golf, you could like smash on the buttons and your character would say things.
But in the normal golf, one of the things
that you could press for Wario, it sounded like he was saying a racial slur.
Oh, I heard this. Yeah,
very unfortunate. Audio compression artifact, but yeah.
Yeah, so I thought they might.
Like,
that
I press
back.
That button every time.
Of course you did, James.
Yeah, he's a very angry man. But they didn't bring that back, so that's kind of. But there's plenty of other things that you could enjoy on multiplayer. So yeah, other than that, I've been waiting for Bang.io to arrive. Sadly, it has not. And it doesn't look like it's going to arrive for some time yet, so I am going to be getting straight down to the review for that as soon as I can play through that. But given that the last time I was waiting on the mail, I was waiting for ActRaiser, so sort of appropriately enough, I decided to finish ActRaiser because I didn't get it. Sort of, I was playing through ActRaiser right about the time that the unexpected news that Smash, you had the freeloader, so Smash Brothers was in play. And then everything kind of stopped after that for a while. So I went back to it, I finished it, and you know, I really enjoyed it overall. Even though obviously, you know, it is an old game, practically a launch game. It came out in 1990 in Japan for the Super Famicom.
Yeah.
It still holds up pretty well. I mean, I don't know whether, on a pure sort of action game level, I don't think it quite stacks up with Castlevania IV, but. Obviously, that's not the whole point of the game, and the so-called sim stuff. I don't really know how well that holds up because I haven't played the games that are purely like that. But it adds an interesting element in terms of it's a much more interesting way of leveling up your character than just like a sort of numerical progression kind of thing.
For me, it's a simulation game with action elements because the sim part is what I enjoy more. But I'm glad you brought this up. You know, they just talked about it on last week's restaurant.
Yeah, they did, actually. It was
and
quite strange.
They were pretty
they
dismissive
did.
Of the game's qualities. They kind of said, you know, it's more than the sum of its parts, but they didn't really think the sim part was that great or the action part. I think both are really good,
I would say the ActRaiser's action parts, I don't think it's quite up there with Castlevania IV, but I think Castlevania IV was brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that means that it's still pretty damn good. I mean...
I mean, very few things are on that level.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, because the one
it's
thing...
It's challenging. It's very kind of timing-based, like the jumping and the slashing. There's sort of a
rhythm
that you have
cause
to
it's,
use,
I don't know,
because but...
some people say, you know, oh, well, it's the jumping's kind of stodgy and all this. And it is, but that's kind of the sum of the point in terms of, I mean, I don't want to absolve it entirely. Maybe the controls could be a little better, but I think the fact that you have to be deliberate in your movements a lot of the time is part of the gameplay. I mean, it's some of what goes into... Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, it's just designed that way. And your Bionic Commando is sort of similar in that you have to be, you know, very deliberate about when you jump, when you attack. There's sort of a rhythm and pace to it because your character isn't super hyper responsive to the controls.
Yeah,
I mean there's sort of a. If it's not that there's a lag, it's that he's just not that fast.
Yeah, and if you're used to, you know, playing anything that's kind of got Mario inspired kind of physics or anything, it's going to see where's the inertia, where's the massive range of control of him in the air or whatever, but you know that's not the kind of game it is. It's much more deliberate and all that, and I think they are good, no doubt about it, and the sim stuff's quite good as well. I got on with it even though I was having to sort of muddle through it because it was the Japanese version. I still got on with it, and I had to sort of YouTube the ending to see what they were talking about.
I don't think I've ever beaten the final stage of that.
Well,
game
that's the thing. It's funny, actually.
It makes you play. I got to the Mega Man part where it makes you play through all the bosses again in one life, and I never could.
But that's
beat
the
them
see,
all
now, this
one
is
life,
something so. I was wondering because I remember all the way back reading about this game when I was like 6 years old. Well, they had a screenshot of the screen with the six heads. And the you know that you have like when you're fighting all the bosses, and I was like, oh wow, that looks amazing, and you get to fight all the bosses at the end, and like, and supposedly it was really it was just
that was a feature.
So I was 6 years old. For some reason, this really appealed to me. The idea of like, I don't know, maybe I really relished the thought of like fighting the Grim Reaper again before I fought Dracula in Castlevania or something, but. It was just like, as I said, oh wow, that looks really amazing and everything. And then, so I finally actually did that today. It's like 18 years later, virtually. And it is, but that was the thing. It was kind of infamously described as really hard, but I didn't find it very hard because you had three lives. So I was like, I don't know what's up with that. It was like one continue, I suppose you could call it, but it was three lives,
yeah,
which meant you could kind of stand there and take a certain amount. Like, you could sort of pick your spots. Like, okay, if you could do this and this boss well enough, you could pretty much just stand there and take the punishment and get in a race and kill the other one, and then, all right, you let yourself die the next time, and then you've got enough to keep going. You know, it didn't seem like it was quite as challenging as it could have been.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem for me, and we're getting probably too detailed on this, but I always depended a lot on the magic for the bosses, and you can't go in there with enough magic to make it to use the same strategies that I used before.
No, because
so
there was
that
some...
threw me off balance a little bit, and I ended up just having a lot of trouble on.
Yeah,
because
that's kind of how I devised like a way. There were certain ones I could kill without using magic at all. And then that left me with the opportunity to sort of, you know, use my chances on the harder ones.
The Sphinx Head is probably the easiest to kill.
Yeah, Sphinx Head's easy. The first one, the Minotaur, is pretty easy.
The Wolf is really hard, actually, without magic.
Well,
the
first part I could do all fine without it. Like, you just wait until he appears on a certain level of platform and start hacking away at him. And then with the actual Wolf, he just stands there and just walks around. I just stood there and hit him and hit him and he died. That was kind of shocking, though. He didn't really do
That's
anything,
weird.
But yeah. But great game.
Okay.
Really good fun. And
it's on virtual console.
Yeah,
it's way the fuck better than the shit we've been getting lately.
Yeah.
So if you
and
missed out
even
on
though
it,
I made
go
the,
download
I
it.
Made the effort to get a Japanese version, so it was sort of totally faithful. But the Super NES versions on virtual console are not that bad. They're far from the worst affected on virtual console. So European Wii owners should probably think about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's exactly the same in the U.S., so...
Yeah.
Okie doke. And, of course, we just played one round of Space Invaders Online right before we started.
That's right, yeah.
Tonight.
Finally,
I mean,
got around to trying that out. Friends match.
Yeah, it was kind of laggy.
Yeah,
but,
it didn't run great.
That's not surprising,
It's
though.
Understandable, considering the distance. Yeah, it wasn't unplayable at all. Sometimes it would just kind of pause for a second.
Yeah,
and then restart.
Yeah.
Once it caught up, so it's not like in a first-person shooter where it just drops the frame, so you just can't tell what's going on. In this, it basically paused the game until it caught it. It was more like streaming video, you know.
Sure. Yeah,
but I don't know. I kind of felt like I wasn't interacting with you very much.
No,
I guess the way you attack is by shooting down the UFOs.
Yeah,
but it's sort of like playing Tetris multiplayer where you're kind of doing your own thing and hoping that whatever you're doing is messing up the other player. But like, I don't know. I didn't really get a great feel for against another person here, you know.
And even for that sort of thing, like a Meteos or it didn't. You know, it's not even to that extent. I don't think it does feel quite detached.
Yeah. Yeah. You pretty much just play it like you normally would.
Yeah. See, that's one of the things that I really don't like about the online experience in a lot of Wii and DS games. Because you can't communicate with the person you're playing with. It really doesn't feel like you're playing multiplayer. It just feels like you're playing
an
that's
AI.
An issue. I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
it feels like you're playing an AI with
lag. It's not only that, but it's also they're just not really designing an interesting multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just take any general game design and tack on, you know, and just like link it up somehow with another player and we'll be like, well, there you go. You have to design a multiplayer mode. And some games do it well and they come up with really interesting, you know, interactions regardless of communication, and some don't. Some of them are just kind of very straightforward and not that interesting, and unfortunately, I think Space Invaders kind of falls in that latter category.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's not that interesting, and the communication, you know, might have helped it along a bit if it, you know, given that it's a bit lacking in the design area, if you could have it, but of course you don't, so it doesn't get salvaged that way either.
Yeah, unfortunately, we know that DS can't do online voice chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, never gonna happen.
Especially for those really, really high-powered games like Space Invaders Extreme. There's just too much going on.
Yeah, too much going on.
Just burning up the processor power. John, have you played Johnny or Greg online?
No, I have not.
No?
I'd love to.
We meant to last week. You haven't
taken advantage of the ability to control the game better than them?
You can't do it.
You wouldn't be able to.
You can't do that online. You can't use the paddle online.
That's ridiculous.
No, we talked about this last week, James. There's one thing missing out on the RFN E3 specials, you know. That's one sort of dereliction of duty. But just tuning out is, wow.
Shame on you, James.
I'm pretty sure James has heard the last episode at least twice.
His heart's not in it anymore.
Three times.
I always listen to it again after I'm done editing. Three times.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's just there's a point where, you know, it all sort of blurs together in your mind after hearing it the third time. And it's like, stuff got talked about, but I don't remember what.
There you go. All right, well, John, it's actually your turn, man, so take over.
Well, if I could wave this in Greg's face for a moment. Actually, right now I'm playing Bangayo Spirits.
Right now, my friend. And you talked about me spacing out. You turned that game off right now, mister.
Dude, this,
no wonder he's been so quiet during your business.
You know what this is? It's called research. It's because I'm a journalist.
John,
right?
Go to your room.
All right? I'm researching on the fly. And I got
to
say.
Go to your room and leave the DS right here.
Well, it's weird, man. I mean, it's not. It's a shooter, but. It's like I said. It's kind of like WarioWare. I mean, it's you pretty much have a goal. Like I'm going through the tutorial, and the whole thing is they're teaching you kind of the mechanics of the different ways you can launch missiles and fire shots and block stuff and run into enemies and all kinds of stuff like this. And I don't know. Like each one is kind of like it's like a puzzle. Like you have to, for example, if you have missiles that rebound off of walls. You have to angle them in a certain way such that they, you know, go through this one corridor, bounce off a couple of other things, and then hit the targets. So that's the whole tutorial mode, and the free play is just weird. It just tosses you. It'll do stuff like it'll toss you into the middle of, you know, a swarm of missiles, and the way I mean it's, I'm assuming this thing is based on some Japanese anime or something, but. It's.
I don't know.
I think it's original.
I think it's original, but it's that sort of thing. It's like a mech.
Yeah.
So I assume there's a lot of things like it.
Yeah, like that's the whole thing. Like, you know, in all those, you know, mech kind of anime shows, they have the thing where, you know, the mech will, you know, open up its shoulder flaps and fire out like a ton of missiles and destroy a whole bunch of things. That's kind of what you can do in this. And so an example of something you might see is, you know, it'll drop you into the middle of space and missiles. There'll be, you know, four or five different missile launcher things, and basically they will just completely coat the entire screen with missiles, and then you have to sit there and launch your missiles, and when the missiles connect, it forces a massive chain reaction that destroys everything on the screen.
So are you enjoying connecting your missiles, John?
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
Yeah, apparently that tutorial is, like, really crazy. It's, like, completely fourth wall busting.
Yeah.
It actually talks about the fact that the game slows down.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, that sounds like a bug.
Yeah, The one thing I think what they refer to is the fact that some of the screens are actually, you can move to the right or to the left, and the entire screen moves with you. So the actual playing field is bigger than the DS screen, and two of the characters in the game are these two kids, and the tutorial is a professor talking to these two kids, and one of the kids says, well, the professor says, yeah, I'm sorry, but because of the size of the DS screen, you won't be able to see all of the missiles on screen at once. And the kid says, that sounds like a bug. So it's pretty funny. It does.
As we know, in Japan, giant robots are always piloted by children.
Of course. Of course.
Seriously, if you ever play Zone of the Enders.
Angsty teenagers are also acceptable.
Yep.
At the max. That's the oldest you can be is like 17.
No, because you can have that one mentor who's like 22, but he has to die.
Exactly, at 22. But he looks like he's about 40, of course.
Yeah, but he has to die. He has to die by episode 18.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, I mean, I'll tell you that I'm enjoying it, but I don't really know exactly what the hell is going on right now. So.
I'm enjoying it, but I'm only
lying
to myself.
That's what you hear is basically it's just like, because I think apparently you can choose any one of the levels at any time at some point at least.
Yeah,
so
like,
it's kind of
yeah. There's
like,
not a whole lot of structure to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's pretty much just
to,
like they came up with a bunch of levels and they didn't really sort of try and constrain it in terms of like, all right, let's ramp up the difficulty or develop this or do, you know, it's just levels. And I guess there's pluses and minuses to that in terms of they it could be as kind of creative and varied as they wanted, but on the other hand, you haven't got that kind of structure that kind of like guides you and rewards you, and that has a sort of satisfaction unto itself. So yeah. I guess that's there's good and bad with that.
Yeah, I mean it's almost like a shooter construction set with just a bunch of levels that are kind of tech demos. That's what it kind of reminds me of. And I mean there's several different ways to play it. I mean there's like right now I'm just looking at the free play and there's 122 different levels in there. There's actual like puzzles where there's 18 of those where there's actually you have to do something in particular.
Yeah, it's like even block sliding, I think, in some or something. I mean, there's all sorts of different. It's quite varied, I think. You know, it's not just like you sort of what you might imagine from a scrolling shooter,
no.
Where it's pretty much the same thing all the time. It is like John said, it's almost got this kind of micro game element to it, and so sometimes it'll be quite different what the task is from one to the next.
Yeah, I mean, typically it's not like some sort of side-scrolling kind of thing. It basically throws you out onto a square playing field, and you have to destroy everything on that playing field. So it's...
Well, John, you'll have to make some cool level, and on next week's show, you can play the sound load theme into your microphone, and we'll distribute that to our entire
That's a great
audience.
Idea. I'll do that.
Or I can just cut that to the floor.
No. It's a cool idea. Actually, they did it on Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's podcast, but I couldn't hear it at all. I don't
it sounded so like...
It's like the guy, I don't know, they didn't bother editing it out or something, but it just totally failed to work. So
I'm glad...
Maybe we can actually pull it off.
I'm glad
and make this
we're
happen.
Aspiring to copy failed ideas from other podcasts now.
Oh, we're aspiring to make them work.
That would be any of the ideas from Voice Chat.
Yeah, but I mean, we could be a regular feature, just like towards the end this week's Bangaya level. You know,
could be the stinger after the closing music. You know.
That's
about it. Well, actually, let me just save one here.
No. Nope, can't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to. Whether you
the magic of radio.
Magic can't do it, John.
Of radio. Okay.
Edited out.
Gone. Screw you, man.
Everything, the podcast, only the introduction. 2.5 minutes of New Blood music. Just the introduction. That'd be good.
Let's see.
John, are we still waiting for you to do this?
Apparently.
Can you tell us about any other games while you...
Not necessarily a game you've played, just tell us about other games.
Sorry, I know this is incredibly boring.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I've been playing has been BioShock. That's one of the ones I grabbed out of the backlog and actually started playing through. And I kind of touched on this in the forums. Yeah, I mean, it's
not a good place to touch on that game.
I mean, it's pretty much my opinion of that game is that it has very good art design. I think they did a really good job of, you know, creating a world and a universe, and you know, has a really good story, really interesting characters. But I think in terms of like as a kind of a first person shooter adventure, I mean, I think that something like Metroid Prime 3 to me was a lot more interesting to play through than BioShock, because it just got so tedious near the end. It just gets so repetitive because you seem to be fighting the same two or three monsters over and over again. It's like just gets so repetitive, and you know,
it's too bad. There's only like basically like five kinds of enemies in the entire game, and it's like a 20-something hour game.
Yeah, that's long.
And so the only difference is as you get later in the game, they just take a lot more shots to kill. But that they don't behave differently. They just do more damage and they take more shots. Yeah, I got really sick of the shooting parts of it.
Isn't part of that game's draw, though, that you could, in theory, avoid combat for basically the entire game?
Not really.
No. You cannot avoid combat in that game. I mean, I had a thing that what do you call it? Like a potion,
a plasmid.
What do they call it? Tonic.
Plasmid, is that what you're talking?
A plasmid, a tonic. I had one that made me invisible anytime I was standing still. Uh-huh. Okay, and most enemies could see me anyway. It's like the game doesn't even necessarily play by its own rules. But yeah, I mean, you can't avoid combat. If you can run away from a guy, and if you get through a certain kind of door, they may not be able to follow you. But they're probably going to do some damage to you before
that. But
then.
See, I thought part of the thing was a lot of the enemies didn't really do anything if you just left them alone.
No, if you get close enough, they
attack. And they generally chase you as well. I mean, they'll come after you. They'll come into rooms. I mean, you'll hear them around, and you kind of won't be able to place them, and then all of a sudden they're right behind you hacking away at you. So,
They're not stupid. They're just
repetitive. Well, that
is
one of the cool things. I mean, you can actually bait the enemies to fight each other. So, and some of the enemies will fight each other on their own. Every once in a while, you'll come across, a couple of enemies, and they'll just be, like, duking it out, and you're just sitting there watching them. So, it's pretty cool. But,
Jonathan often pays to watch animals fight each other.
Yeah, I can't figure out the sound load, guys, so I'm done.
Okay, well, for next week, we'll have something prepared. I want to hear what it sounds like anyway.
It's like the roar of Godzilla. I hope it sounds just like that.
Sure, why not?
Bom chicka bom bom.
No.
It's my favorite level. Okay, that's the end of new business, and we'll be back after the break with the news. We're back for part two with the news. We've been having fun during the break, as you might be able to tell. And now we're pumped up, man. We were psyched for the news.
Get pumped!
Well, there was this big EA event last week, and because of it, we actually kind of like have enough news to talk about for once. So we're not doing listener mail. We'll do listener mail next week. So we've got a few letters in. We need more. Send those to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. And until then, you will hear us talk about the news, and you will like it.
And we haven't gotten any submissions from my crazy rant of the week.
Haven't been a lot of days for that because of the schedule. So
yeah, I know.
Right. I mean, if you could edit the podcast a little earlier, we might.
Oh.
I'm joking. Okay. So the first story of the week: Suda51 and Mikami team up. What's it? Shinji Mikami. Team up for a multi-platform EA horror game. This was announced last week, and we don't know anything about the game except it's a horror game, and it combines one of the weirdest teams of Japanese developers I've ever heard of. Suda51, of course, from Killer7, No More Heroes, Contact for the DS, this like Rain Sun Flowers game in Europe or whatever. Lots of weird shit, and Fatal Frame 4 for the Wii. Yeah. It's a big Nintendo supporter, I guess you could say, and so Grasshopper Manufacture and Shinji Mikami, formerly of Capcom, he was the director of the first couple Resident Evil games, and then also Devil May Cry. And currently, I believe he's directing Bayonetta for Platinum Games. He works at Platinum Games now, formerly known as Clover.
He and Inafune were basically the faces of Capcom, so when they lost him, it was pretty big.
Yeah, Inafune's still at Capcom. He's the Mega Man guy, yeah. So he's working on Mega Man 9.
And a few other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, also involved in this deal are Q Games, Q Entertainment, Q Games is Dylan Cuthbert.
Right,
Q,
Mizuguchi. Yeah, Mizuguchi. And I heard that. I don't think that was in the press release that EA sent out, but yeah, I've heard that as well.
Weird, though, because this isn't the first compilation with another crazy Japanese developer that Studio 51's announced. He still has that long-going, still relatively secretive project with
Kojima.
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, so I'm kind of wondering if his weirdness is just starting to attract other weird developers. And
I guess so. I think it's a good thing.
I'm glad, I'm going to hold judgment until we see what comes of it, though. I mean,
I guess the interesting part of this is going to be the multi-platform part. Obviously, you know, it's going to be on the HD consoles, and it's going to be on Wii. In terms of how that breaks down, like, what are the substantive differences?
It's not coming out on PS2. So hopefully the Wii version will be
legitimate. They'll make a PS2 version just to port it.
Yeah, but never release it.
One of the weird things about this, though, is that these are two very, very Japanese developers, and it's the driving force in this arrangement is EA, an American company that's never really gotten a whole lot of Japanese penetration.
Yeah, it is a pretty strange combination. And I guess we should say, you know, it's pretty exciting that Mikami, one of the originators of Resident Evil, is making a new horror-type game. And it's coming to Wii, Resident Evil 5.
He's done other franchises, too.
Yeah, I think he was involved with Onimusha. And Devil May Cry as well. I wouldn't call Devil May Cry a horror game by any stretch of the imagination, but a good game, for sure.
He was also involved in... he was actually involved in Killer 7. He was the executive producer.
Mikami?
Yep. And God Hand.
So this not the first time they've teamed up.
He was also the driving forces in Beautiful Joe... some of the Gakuten Saiban games, Dino Crisis, Goof Troop Aladdin, that's kind of weird.
And, a lot of stuff for Capcom.
And Piano 3, he was basically...
Yeah, I remember you doing Piano 3.
Yeah, there were basically two people who basically ran Capcom's operations, and Inafune.
I can actually see Suda 51 being interested in P&O 3, but for all the wrong reasons.
No, I can see...
I'm not even sure there are right reasons to be interested
in that game. The former leader of Team Ninja being interested in...
Oh, yeah. That's it. You heard it here first. Itagaki making P&O 3-2.
Yes. But, you know, that's one of the so-called weird Japanese developers that he hasn't announced a game with, so maybe next.
Yeah, he's a free agent now.
Suda 51 and Itagaki would be...
That would be a horrible
amazing.
Game. Giant
that would
breast
be amazing.
Monsters.
Okay. So, yeah, we don't know anything about this game except the creators who are involved, but it's sounding really interesting. So, you know, maybe, I don't know, E3 next year, maybe even before that, we'll see more about it. Next up, EA announced Godfather 2, but unfortunately there's no Wii version. It's for 360, PS3, and I think PC. No Wii version, and this is fucked up. This really pisses me off because I reviewed Godfather Black Hand Edition for Wii, and it's really good. It's actually one of the better Wii games out there, especially if you're looking for something rated M, something with kind of the open world GTA-like structure. There aren't a whole lot of choices on Wii, and Godfather Black Hand is really good.
It sold so badly, though. I mean, it tanked.
Yeah, but I think the 360 version did, too. Which was just kind of like a barely upgraded version from PS2 and Xbox.
That game had a really bad reason, or a really explainable reason why it tanked. I mean, it was just basically a straight port of a PS2 game on a system where that's completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And
on 360, But the Wii version was actually had surprisingly good motion controls, had really nice infrared pointer aiming for the guns, and you do a lot of shooting, so that makes sense.
Well, how did the PS3 version of it do? It was a special version, too. I can't remember what it was called, though.
You know, I don't even know if it ever came out on PS3.
I'm pretty sure it did. I'm pretty sure
the first one, I don't recall that, but if it did, it came out even later, because the 360 and Wii versions came out at the same time. And if the PS3 version came out, it came out even later than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised this is coming out on 360 and PS3. Mm. I'm just pretty disappointed that it's not coming out on Wii as well, because the Wii version of the first one was so good. They already have the technology and the engine running on the Wii. They've already conceptualized all the motion controls, you know, and we know that they work really well. And presumably there is some built-in audience for the game on the Wii, like people like me who played the first one.
Yeah.
And this is really disappointing for me. I mean, there are people who will actually tell you that the Wii version was the best version of the first one because it had those really good motion controls.
Yeah.
And it had the really good aiming.
Yeah. And it's
just a shame that they're being kind of short-sighted on this. I mean, maybe there'll be a version ported to Wii later, like they did with the first one. But
I doubt
it. Because it just sounds like it's getting short-ended again.
Well, just to clarify, the 360 version of the original one came out in 06, pretty close to the PS2 game. The Wii and the PS3 got special editions. The Wii got the Black Hand, and the PS3 got the Don's edition.
And both of them were pretty
big builds on the previous iterations.
Yeah,
they both had
a lot of features added.
Yeah.
You know. Sort of like a Bully Scholarship edition,
right,
in the same vein.
With better graphics.
As I said before we started the show, this would be like Rockstar announcing Bully 2, but it's not coming to Wii.
Yeah.
When they've already released the first one for Wii, and it got really good reviews. But it came out 2 years later than the original version. I mean, Bully did... Let's put it this way. Bully didn't sell well on any of the platforms it was released on. Yeah. I mean, it's just... It was a failure in the marketplace, despite it being a good game.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean...
I still haven't played it. I should, if I didn't hate Gamefly, I'd put it on my
Bully
queue.
Scholarship Edition on the Wii, and it's a competently put together game. I think I gave it an 8. It's not.
Yeah.
It's got flaws that shouldn't have come through when it did, but still, you know.
Yeah. An eight's a good game. I mean, that's an 8 is a game that I want to try.
And it was,
you know?
It was weird because it started in my head as a 6, and it sort of worked its way back up. Because, you know, it's just one of those games where it's got these quirks and they just piss you off, but eventually you just find yourself enjoying it anyway. And I think that...
It's like a GTA game.
Yeah, that
all
really
have
hurts.
Weird little things.
That could have really hurt, you know, the game as a whole in terms of franchise sales, too.
In this case, it just makes me... But, I mean, obviously they're starting on the HD consoles this time, so I guess the question of just if they feel that they're going to be so much more ambitious than they were before that it's not scalable... Like in any way, like, you know, they can't
really scale the game down to the old engines, from what
they've said about Godfather 2 so far, it doesn't sound dramatically different than the first one.
Right. Because it is, I mean, as we kind of joked earlier, you know, the sort of PS2 thing, you know, that helps get games on Wii, you know, if there was one, or a PS2 version, you know, that always does help. But obviously in this case...
It helps because it builds that technology base.
Yeah.
So you have an engine that you know will work on the Wii. The thing is, with this sequel, again, they've already got the engine running on
But the point is that if it isn't simply you can kind of scale the whole game down, like, then if there would have to be some sort of specialization, which you didn't have to do because the PS2 version already existed in the first case, then they're just not willing to assign the development resources to do that.
Isn't EA the company that set up like 2 or 3 entire studios just to make Wii games?
Yes, but one of them is
devoted
entirely
to sports games. They're making,
and one's,
yeah,
and
I mean,
one's
instead
casual.
Of making Godfather 2, they're making Celebrity Sports Showdown.
We'll get to that.
One thing I want to say
about the Godfather games, though, before we do that, the original Godfather game was in development for like a ton of years, and they really scaled back what they wanted to do in a Molyneux-like fashion. And I wouldn't be surprised if... By the way, that's a 20-point gamer reference there. I wouldn't be surprised if this game actually brings back some of the more ambitious things they had in mind for it, because it looks like some of the stuff they had planned just really wasn't technically feasible. Like, fully customizable characters downright to the texture of their clothing. I mean, you couldn't do that on the PlayStation 2.
You could do it on Wii.
You could do it on Wii, but I think that maybe they just...
Yeah, actually, yeah, I mean, you can do it on PlayStation 2. The Tony Hawk games did stuff like that. San Andreas let you do a lot of stuff like that.
How they were implying it, they wanted to be like everything you could do. Like, all the physical features of their face and their clothes and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not unheard of.
The only thing
I can
think of is that I can only look at it and say that they just didn't want to bother putting any resources on a Wii version.
Yeah.
I mean, it must not have
I mean,
have been enough sales.
Clearly, you would have to put a certain amount of resources in, and they just don't think the return's there.
Yeah, but this is Electronic Arts. If they don't have the resources to do a Wii version, then who
does?
They
have resources. They just
it's not a matter they don't have
them.
They don't want to devote
it.
That just pisses me off.
Is it a
cost-effective if you're listening and you haven't played Godfather on Wii, you really should give it a shot. It's excellent. It really is excellent.
Okay.
Anyway, that's
Now to the big news.
I'm pissed.
the big news.
So, as I tried to segue into, and James,
well, it was important. Me. It was important information.
Yes. Yes. Celebrity Sports Showdown. This is another EA game for Wii.
No.
James
doesn't understand the appeal.
Give us the
of
bad
this
news.
Game.
All right. The bad news is it's Celebrity Sports Showdown, and that that is the but. The good news is that you don't actually have to buy it and play it.
No, see, but, the good news is that I've already signed up James for the review.
I'll just send it to you with a letter saying "F you, man."
These are celebrities in the Dancing with the Stars
league. I'll read them.
Or Hollywood Squares.
It starts
perhaps
with Fergie, which automatically would give me the game a zero.
Big girls
and
don't cry.
It continues to.
No, John, stop.
I just did.
It continues to Avril Lavigne, Leanne Rimes, who I'm not sure even counts as a celebrity anymore, Keith Urban, who I've never even heard of, Nelly Furtado.
Keith Urban, he's married to Nicole Kidman. Yeah. That's pretty much all I know about it. He's Australian.
Nelly Furtado, Paul Pierce, Mia Hamm, who hasn't played soccer in a decade. Christy Yamaguchi, who hasn't skied in almost two decades.
She was a skater, not a skier.
Skater, yes.
Point taken, yes.
Reggie Bush, who's been overrated for a decade.
That's so
and
random.
And Sugar Ray Leonard, who, as I last checked, hasn't boxed since I was born.
I want to know, yes. Can Reggie Bush actually run inside in this game? Is that the appeal?
No.
Can he actually pick up yards?
He gets taken down by Yamaguchi every time.
Oh, I'm living out my fantasy.
Reggie Bush is the only active, the only currently professional.
No, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Paul Pierce.
Who is Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce is one of the Celtics' big three.
He's a Marvel superhero. Yeah.
But maybe,
okay,
why?
Sorry, I don't follow basketball whatsoever.
He's actually competent, unlike Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
He's actually good at his sport.
Reggie Bush was a really good college player. So,
what would he do?
But this is their starting lineup. I mean,
no.
I guess they're going to announce more people later.
I think you could see
later,
where they
but
drew their inspiration from. It's like, what if we made a game that was sort of like Wii Sports? It was kind of like Smash Brothers with pop culture. And then, but if you extend that
on a budget
forward, that would be Smash Brothers with like Zool, James Pond. You know, rather than like Mario and Link.
Gex.
Oh god. Yeah, I mean the gameplay is, it's, I think they're like 12 or 16 mini games in this, and they're all based on sports like archery and horse riding and pretty bizarre, some pretty strange choices. And
Jazz,
I guess
Jack
the humor
Rabbit
is that you see these, you know, these musicians, if I may use the term loosely, and sports stars doing weird stuff that you would never ever see them do in real life. It's like Dancing with the Stars. You put famous people in an awkward, somewhat embarrassing situation and see what happens.
So we're going to get to see Reggie Bush block a pass rusher?
Yeah, so all these crazy things. He's going to carry it 25 times. He's going to block.
Things
gonna
you just never
see.
He's going to make a ball.
He's going to catch passes out of the backfield.
You guys are brutal, man. I'm not even a fan of Reggie Bush, and I feel bad for him.
No. He's gonna not take money when he's under NCAA regulations.
Yeah, he's gonna not be a bust. Awesome.
Well, anyway, this is a Wii exclusive, so everybody
exclusive,
get excited. Remember, vote with your dollars. Third party support. Okay, Henry Hatsworth for DS. This is another EA game that actually we're looking forward to. This actually sounds pretty cool.
So it's gonna be so.
It's like a puzzle slash platformer, not in the Tokitori sense, but you're actually playing a platforming game and a puzzle game
and they both
at
affect
the same
each other
time. Yeah, so it sounds like the platforming is sort of the main gameplay. It's essentially an action game at heart, but at certain times you'll have the opportunity to switch down to the lower screen and play a puzzle game. I guess it's sort of like a puzzle attack, you know, like
yeah, it's like Puzzle League, yeah, it's sort of,
yeah. So it's similar to that, but you're playing that on the touch screen, and then however you perform in the puzzle game either benefits you or harms you up on the top screen in the action game. So then once you play the puzzle game for a certain amount of time, you go back to the action game and then play with the repercussions of what you did in the puzzle game. John Davison was raving about it on One Up Yours last week, and actually Carmine Red Chiron was at that same event, and he played it, and he hasn't written about it quite yet as of this recording, but he told me last night that it's awesome. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little more
and
detail from him on
features,
it.
Features, as John Davison pointed out, but I have to repeat it because it's so brilliant. Henry Hatsworth is an Englishman, and when he drinks tea, he turns into a robot. I mean,
is that historically accurate?
What is more British
Greg
than that?
I mean, Greg, you turn into a robot daily, don't you?
Exactly. That's why I generally stick to soft drinks, because I don't really to start thinking in binary code all of a sudden.
It's actually something I personally enjoy, so I'm going to have to go procure some tea.
Mm. There you go. Well, I don't know if they've announced a release window for this, but... it sounds really interesting, and I think what appeals to me about this game, aside from the fact that I like platforming and I like puzzle games, is that it sounds like it's one of the rare DS games that actually uses both screens in an interesting way. It's kind of the thing that we were promised when DS first came out.
Yeah, it's funny, really, because when it had two screens, and especially when it was back when it was the third pillar and all that, and I guess in a kind of facile way, I kind of thought this was more of what you'd get. You know, it's just like, well, there's two screens, it's going to be two different things on it, right? You know, rather than just like a map, or, you know, it kind of stretches over both. So, it is kind of nice to see something that's more kind of exploits what you've got with the DS after all this time.
Well, yeah. I want to point out, though, that I didn't even read the write-up about this game before I already knew that he was an Englishman because of the very, like, stereotypically English name of Henry Hatsworth.
Yeah, of course. Lovely.
I wonder if I have to rename it European territories just because it sounds too stupid.
Nah.
They're going to be like, if we don't care, we'll offend our base with crazy names. Go for it.
Okay, well, wrapping up our EA news, although this isn't technically EA news, they distribute it, but we found out last week officially that Rock Band 2 for the Wii is going to be much more competitive with the other versions, and, well, the subtext here is it's going to be much more competitive with Guitar Hero. As we know, Rock Band 1 sold pretty well. It was like number 8 in the NPDs for June Wii, but... not a good version of the game. A lot of stuff stripped out. It's basically a port of the crappy PS2 version that came out over 6 months ago. So, Harmonix and MTV Games are now saying that Rock Band 2, which is coming out for Wii in December, I think. It's coming out... No, maybe November, but it's coming out a couple months after Xbox 360 version. But they're saying it's going to be basically a lot more feature complete. And actually, I have to say, we were told this off the record at E3. We were at, you know, I mean, we went to go see Rock Band 2, and we had tons of questions about the Wii version. We asked everything that you, our listeners and readers, would want us to ask. And a lot of it they dodged on. Some of the things the producer kind of would nod his head and say, yeah, we know what you guys think of it. We know we need to do better with the next one. It's going to have online. It's going to have downloadable content. You cannot print that yet. So, yeah. Chris Kohler at Wired's gaming blog finally got them to kind of go on the record and confirm that. So I'm really glad that they're now talking about it. They haven't given a lot of detail. I mean, they're not being as forthcoming as the Guitar Hero guys are about what specifically will and won't be in the game, but they're basically promising a much better experience with this one. And I mean, the other thing is Rock Band 2's got to compete with Rock Band 1 on the Wii. Less than 6 months old when Rock Band 2 comes out. So, I mean, they've really got to make it seem like a quantum leap. And that won't be too hard if they include all the online stuff and, you know, all the customization. So, hopefully, they're going to do it justice this time. I mean, we know that it's technically possible. So, it's just a matter of them putting in the effort, which they should have done the first time, and doing it right.
Well, are they gonna follow the same... Well, we probably don't know yet what they're going to do regarding DLC for the Wii version. Because I know what they're doing on Guitar Hero, was it World Tour?
World Tour, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what they're doing there, but I would assume that they're probably going to try to do something similar.
I'm sure, yeah. Again, much more competitive. I think they mean not so much cross-platform as meaning competitive with Guitar Hero. And this will be coming out a couple of months or at least several weeks after Guitar Hero, so they've got a little more lead time on it.
Just to reiterate, the plan for Guitar Hero Online is they're actually going to let you load it straight from the SD card, right?
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to fill up all of your onboard
memory. All of
my
blocks.
DLC stuff, yeah. Yeah, you can store songs on your SD card, and the game reads the songs directly off the SD card.
So how are they going to, like, sell it on disk and then have you load it onto the SD card, or what?
You download it from the in-game store. Yeah, I mean, you pay with Wii Points, and it downloads through the game. You know, I don't know what the interface is going to be like. I mean, you might have to go to the Wii Shop channel.
Probably
and buy
not
them there.
Because, like, in the games that have DLC now, none of them make you go to the shop channel to get it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, it should have an in-game store, just the like the 361. The next gen versions do. Yeah. Just like next gen Rock Band. Now, and actually, Rock Band on the 360 originally, you did have to kind of go like outside the game to buy songs, and now you can buy it within the game.
That
they
was still
updated
pretty
the
early
store.
In the DLC bandwagon.
That was a whole year ago. So
will you actually download the games from the Wii Shop channel? Will they actually go directly onto the SD card, or will you have to kind of piggyback it from, you know,
That's an interesting question. I would guess that they will at least put a utility in the game that says move all my songs to the SD card.
I would say
so that you don't have to go into the Wii menu to do that.
And then spend 10 minutes waiting for it. Yeah. I would say what's probably going to happen is they'll, if you have an SD card plugged in, and I can almost guarantee you that there will be a built-in console in the game to do it, to do purchases from the online shop. That it will detect the presence of an SD card and prompt you if you want to put it there. I think that's pretty much what they're probably going to end up having.
You'd hope so, because otherwise it negates a lot of the usefulness of having it off the SD card, because you're still dealing with moving it back and forth when you purchase it.
You don't have to move it back once. Or move it once. But
it still is like it's still 50% as much mucking around in a sense. Although obviously you're playing the song many more times than you're downloading it, presumably. But it's still kind of silly if it didn't.
I don't know what the read write capabilities of the SD card are for though in in-game situations.
Well, we don't know either because it's never really been used.
I think that you may actually we won't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the team developing Rock Band holds back and waits to see what they do with Guitar Hero.
Well, they can't really hold back because they're coming out too close to each other. There's only about a month difference, I think. Because Guitar Hero comes out in October, Rock Band 2 for Wii comes out in November. So, I mean, that's not enough time to wait and see and then add stuff at the end. I mean, the cat's sort of already out of the bag about the way Guitar Hero works.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think Harmonix knows what they're up against, what they're going to have to do. Well, I mean, maybe they should just focus on making their own way.
But we know that there's kind of a bitter situation between them anyway, though, so...
Yeah, I don't think that Rock Band 2 should... You know, I don't think they can afford to wait to just copy whatever Guitar Hero does because they're coming out too close to each other. So they're going to have to figure out their own original way of doing it. And that should be within their power. So... alright, well, we'll move on from EA stuff now. We just have a couple more stories, and I know Carmine especially was really excited about this, but Overlord is coming to Wii and DS. Well, this is from Codemasters.
The franchise.
The franchise, yeah. They're actually developing new exclusive versions for both systems. We've got Overlord Minions and Overlord Dark Apprentice or something like that for Wii. But the Overlord game, the original came out on 360, like I think in 2006.
Yeah, and the PC.
Or early 2000. Yeah, and then they ported it to PS3 last year.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a pretty cool concept. It's like basically a rated M version of Pikmin.
Yeah.
You're controlling this demon lord, and you have these little demon guys running around you, like little imps.
Yeah.
And you basically, like, could send them out to do evil deeds, and apparently it's really funny. There, it's a based. A lot of the humor comes out of the interactions between these little demon guys and the innocent people that you're tormenting.
Yeah, I actually
apparently
this
it's
game.
Actually it's written by or some contributed to the writers by Rihanna Pratchett, the daughter of Terry Pratchett, the famous sort of fantasy novelist.
Right, and Terry Pratchett's books are known for being very funny. Also,
I actually did get to play a little bit of this because it was actually on GameTap, which is kind of weird. The game actually came out on GameTap the same time it saw PC release.
I think I'm going to download the demo for 360.
Yeah, it was an amusing game. I kind of lost interest in it, but you know, if you don't pay for the game, it's easy to do that. And you know, it was amusing, and I'm interested to see what they've got in mind. But you know, one of the things I read about this Wii version of the game. Was one of the, I think it was a producer said that in the original, you were evil. But in this game, you're going to be really evil. I thought that it was your choice between evil and more evil. And this game, it's going to be between really evil and really evil. I was like, wow, that's kind of an interesting way to put this.
Well, they're actually developing Overlord 2 for 360 and PS3 and PC. So I guess we're not getting that one, but we are getting our own Wii-exclusive and DS-exclusive versions of the game, and it seems like something to you know to look forward to and to stay interested in. It's kind of an unusual kind of game, and obviously in some ways inspired by Nintendo's own Pikmin franchise, which we know may be coming to Wii. You know,
it's coming to a system.
They could be working on the DS. Yeah, I mean, it could be a Pikmin for DS for all we know.
It could be for the next DS system.
Yeah,
we don't
next handle. Yeah,
it could be for the next Virtual Boy. It could happen.
Well, presumably, the new Overlord games are both coming out in I think early 2009, but they'll be out before Nintendo's.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, if you're into Pikmin, this should be on your radar.
Yeah,
it could be for the old Virtual Boy. We don't know. Nintendo's crazy.
No, I've got it. Pikmin Game and Watch. Right.
Yes.
Down.
Done.
Pikmin could be a good WiiWare game. It could work.
I said Virtual Boy.
Yeah. No, I mean it could. I was thinking free association.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking, you know, it could actually be a good WiiWare game. I would like to see anything from Nintendo on
Hanafuda
card game.
Hanafuda card.
That's it. It's a Hanafuda card game.
You're taking it all the way back to that 19th century Nintendo.
You know, Nintendo still makes Hanafuda.
They do.
And actually, they're really high quality Hanafuda.
Yes.
Like. The reason that Nintendo had to go into video games is because all these competitors came out with like cheap paper Hanafuda cards, you know, like really a lot less expensive but a lot less quality also, and so a lot of the market dried up for them in that business. But they do still make them, and the ones they make are still the traditional like wooden, really high quality expensive ones. I think a deck of Nintendo Hanafuda runs like. On the order of like almost $100. I think TYP might have bought some when he was in Kyoto.
In fact, there's a picture of him standing in front of the original Nintendo building with the plaque about them making Hanafuda cards.
That's right. Yeah, it's his avatar in the forums. Yeah. I would love to go there if I'm ever in Japan. That would be cool. I'd like to go one day. Anyway, our final news story of the day, it's actually kind of a combination of two. I put them together because they're both named Core.
Yes.
We have Core for the Wii. I call this Homophone Hell. But we have Core for the Wii
Homophone
with a K,
Hell!
Which is a 3D platformer. Very cartoony looking. It's about these different characters who dress up in this big robot mech suit to save Earth from an alien invasion.
It's a little bit Jet Force Gemini in that regard.
Yeah, kind of.
The game was actually an Xbox game that was canceled way back in 2003, and the developers sort of went away for a while. And they actually announced back in May it was coming over to the Wii. They actually revived the project, but they released a trailer this week, which is why we picked up on it this juncture.
Right. I thought it looked interesting. I'm not crazy about the art style, but I mean the actual 3D platforming, it could be good. And oddly enough, there aren't that many 3D platformers
really
in this day and age. The genre as a whole across all systems has kind of died down a lot.
And
so
one of the things that the graphics themselves didn't look that great, but there were some elements of the graphics, there's a giant robot in one of the clips that looked really good. Like there's
it's a little hard to tell in a like a web based trailer how good the
but
graphics
I mean like
really
it had a reflective
there's a lot
surface
of video compression.
I mean, so there could be some possibilities. And hell, if it looks like a decent Xbox game, it would still look better than about half the Wii titles.
That's absolutely
right. Yeah, you stole my joke.
I did.
But
I took it.
Chiseled.
Yeah, that, I had mentioned that in the emails.
Yes.
So anyway, that's Core with a K for the Wii. Looks like it could be pretty cool. And then we also have Core for the DS. This is an acronym, C-O-R-E, with a period after each letter. And this is a first-person shooter for the DS. Now, this one I don't know as much about. Did any of you guys read up on this announcement?
Yes, I did. But as in this moment where I'm reading it to you right now.
Oh, good.
New developer No Way Studios has announced their first major project for the DS, a first-person shooter, Core. The game will feature single-player mission mode based around a Roswell-style storyline taking place across 15 levels and a multiplayer mode with Capture the Flag, Team Arena, free-for-all battle types with 10 specially designed areas to battle in.
And it has online voice chat.
Yes, and it has online voice chat.
Does it say that?
No, I don't know. Thank you, Nick DeMola, for that, because I completely stole what you wrote. The features include a gripping sci-fi storyline with a fully interactive world, a mysterious atmosphere intensified by heavy music and advanced graphics, complete 15 huge, shocking, breathtaking levels, 20 enemies ranging from insane marines to scientists with big deadly mutants, a plethora of secret rooms and quests, 8 types of weapons including blaster, shotgun, plasma gun, or rocket launcher. Alternative firing.
They're really thinking out of the box on
alternative
those.
Firing modes for some weapons. 10 different multiplayer arenas, capture the flag, team arena, and deathmatch, and up to 4 players. Essentially.
They don't say anything about online, though, do they?
No.
Well, hopefully that'll come in later.
They don't say anything about
this
not
kind of
online.
Game. I mean, obviously, there's a large single player component, so it still could be cool, but as far as the multiplayer stuff. It's a first-person shooter. If it's not online,
the screens actually look pretty decent. It looks like though that it's going to be controlled like Hunters, where the entire bottom screen is HUD and controls, and the top screen is all the action, which wouldn't be that terrible because Hunters didn't control that badly.
Oh, I like the controls.
Well, that's sort of the standard. Yeah. I mean, isn't that the way Dementium?
Yeah, but I mean, it looks like Prime. I mean, Hunters, like exactly.
Yeah.
Like they ripped off the bottom screen.
Well, and then we've also got Moon coming out from Renegade Kid, the developers of Dementium Ward.
Yeah.
That sounds like kind of the first-person shooter for DS to really watch out for this year. Although, you know, actually, I think the guys at 1UP sort of leaked that they played the new Call of Duty World at War for DS. And, you know, apparently it's pretty much exactly the same as Call of Duty 4 from last
year.
Which
isn't
a bad
thing.
Really good reviews. Call of Duty 4 for DS got some really good comments.
I think it was our runner-up for DS Game of the Year last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I only wrote the article. Yeah. I don't know if it won or not.
I thought that was just incredible.
Yeah,
I haven't played
it myself, but I'd like to.
Yeah, I know it did win a couple awards from us, but I don't remember what they were.
I think it did well in graphics. I don't know about overall.
It did win graphics and it did win sound, but I don't remember what else it won.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like, you know, I don't know, is Core coming out this year or next year?
Core is coming out. I'm gonna edit down some of this light. Dead time. Core is coming out. I should have done research on this one. Core, opening up the game profile, the site being...
Research!
Exactly. No date. Quarter... Oh, Q4 2000. Damn it, Nick! Release Q4 2007 in Europe. Thank you, Nick.
What?
Hold on, I'm checking IGN. I'll find it here.
Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah, I don't fuck with our side, dude.
So basically,
IGN,
Nick wrote an article and violated
useful
our
information.
Check the site for any information needs to be updated. And David Trammell, isn't he the one who does the site profiles?
No, it's Dan.
Dan Wasleski, who I've never actually seen before.
No, that's
might have
Dan
actually retroactively assigned a release date.
I file release reports for Europe to Dan every week. It's sort of like being like the person in that station in Lost where they just send the paper all the time.
Has he ever actually responded to them?
He has responded like twice.
You should just send him an email. Dan, if you don't respond
down
to this, I'm never
down
sending
the memory
you
hole,
report.
In other words.
I don't mind. Summer's sparse. There's not much coming out. It's easy.
Yeah, it's Europe.
I'm actually tempted to leave this in.
Did anyone find it yet? What is the release date for this game?
It's self-referentially funny.
It is.
It's not that funny.
Oh, please.
Congress.
Finding date.
Core for the DS.
When you hear the chime, it will be 6 o'clock.
GameSpot might have an answer.
She said that for over an hour, and I hung up.
I'm bringing up a profile. Hold on.
I've already got a profile, dog. It doesn't have a date.
Yeah, seriously. I'm a 2400 right. bot over here.
So,
it's 6K. Well, I think it's been at least a year since I heard the word bod.
Bod?
Yeah, but consider who's saying it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think this game has a release date, guys.
Okay.
I think we've been looking for something that doesn't exist.
Well, maybe that's why it took so long.
No, it took so long because we were laughing at the fact that we have Q4 2007.
How about this?
There.
Here's where we come back after the edit.
Yeah, okay. The U.S. release date is TBA.
TBA.
Okay.
That's
FYI.
You know, I was just
all that for TBA.
The whole point that I was asking is that if this comes out in 2008, we might actually have a really good year for first-person shooters, and it's a genre that hasn't been taken advantage of very well on the DS since Metroid Prime Hunters, which, as I've said before, was like... Not only, I mean, not a good Metroid game, but it was a good first-person shooter, and it was a good online game for DS, and it did have online voice chat.
Yeah.
And that was like 3 years ago. So what the fuck?
We might actually have to have a vote on best first-person shooter on the DS.
Yeah, seriously.
This year, a vote might actually be required.
There you go. So
as opposed to last year, we didn't even actually have the category because it was. Just pointless.
That's good to hear. So right before Nintendo announces the successor to the DS, we'll actually get some, like, you know, some good games. So, no, I mean, there are lots of good games for DS, but I mean, some like good first person shooters, and the system is more than capable of that genre. So,
yeah,
I'm glad some people are trying to get into
it. And
now.
It seems like it was uniquely capable for it for handheld without an analog controller.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, some people would actually. You could make the argument that it's better suited for shooters than the PSP.
Well, that's because the PSP has the nub. I mean, the nub is itself not useful.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the PSP really needs two. It needs two analog sticks. I don't know why they only made it with one. That's just retarded.
Yeah, and they've already redesigned it once, and they didn't address that. I mean,
yeah.
To be honest, the DS needs an analog stick. I've said that from a long time ago. I really think it needs it. But for certain things, a touchscreen is a fair substitute.
Well, you know, it's funny because every time, like, a first-person shooter comes out on the PS... Or any game that really uses 3D extensively, it's always sort of like a punchline of how are they going to manage both analog control with only the nub.
Right.
Yeah, and I think X-Play did a good review of Jack and Dexter game that came out on the PSP where they were trying to describe how you press all the buttons at one time. And they concluded that it would take like five hands to hit all the buttons you might need to hit at one point.
Yeah, there's a couple of weird things they do with first-person shooters on the PSP. I know that the one game I have, it's Siphon Filter, and it's just all goofy because the controls are like they're a mix of the D-pad and the analog stick.
But it's they're right on top of each other.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre. I actually, you know what? I even forget how it controls. That's how fucking complex it is.
Well, now Siphon Filter's third really person, weird. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the new Resistance for PSP, that's third person too. And supposedly they've got some kind of auto aim feature that makes it feel better than most shooters on PSP. But
there was one game on the PSP that. The developers just got so frustrated of trying to play it with the D-pad and the nub, they actually moved D-pad duties over to the four face buttons and treated the D-pad like the face buttons and just called it a day.
Yeah. So it's like, that's okay. That's funny. All right.
One more thing. Since we're bashing on the PSP, the one thing I will say is, I picked up a cheap copy of Street Fighter. I think a Street Fighter Alpha Max or something for it. But
for
this,
PSP?
This absolutely. Yeah, for the PSP. Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max. And it's actually really good, but you know what sucks about it? And this, I think this is one of the lamest bugs I've ever seen in a game, especially a game from Capcom, is that it will not accept any game save card. It won't accept anything over 1 gig. So I have one of these like Pro Duo sticks that's like fucking 8 gigs. Doesn't work with it.
Wow, that's super lame.
No, you can't
so
save
rude.
Here.
Oddly enough, do you guys remember there was a Street Fighter game for GBA that was really highly regarded?
Yes, uh-huh. there
I think
was.
It might have been like Street Fighter Alpha 2 or 3 or something, but something I don't remember exactly which one it was. But everybody was like, damn, this is really good. This is like shockingly good for a GBA fighting game. Well, you know, there were some really terrible Mortal Kombat games for GBA too.
Oh god!
But the Street Fighter, whatever that one Street Fighter game was, like supposedly it was awesome. So I mean, it's just, you know, we haven't really had any good fighting games for DS. None. No. Nothing good. Well, there have been a few crappy ones, but nothing good.
Street Fighter Alpha 3 for the Game Boy Advance is what you're thinking about.
The Bleach games developed by Treasure are supposed to be alright.
Yeah, but they're not traditional fighters.
Yeah, they're a bit wackier. They're not like classic one-on-one.
Well, they're more like
you've also got
of course, you've got like Jump Ultimate Stars.
That's the one I was thinking.
Jump Superstars and Jump Ultimate Stars.
You got a couple Smash Brothers clones, but...
Yeah, there's actually two good Street Fighter games in the GBA, if anybody's out there looking. There's Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Revival, which I have, and then there's Super Street Fighter Alpha 3.
There you go.
Which is also regarded as being very good.
Yeah.
Turbo Revival is... Yes, it's the third time I own Street Fighter 2 Turbo, but I don't care.
Come to think of it,
fucking game.
I can remember reading about one fighting game on the DS that got a good review, and that was actually a review on our side of Draglade that Steven Rodriguez wrote. This was like an Atlas published game from last year, so it's probably going to be hard to find now.
Yeah, because it's an Atlas published game.
It's an Atlas game. They're just not distributed well. But yeah. It's like a fighting game, but there's sort of a music rhythm element to it.
Rhythmic element.
And you can basically use this music interface to create your own combos. It sounds pretty interesting. So I don't know. I think he gave it like an 8. So
yeah, it's kind of funny because there were quite a few good GBA fighters. There was also King of Fighters EX 2, mm-hmm. which was a very good game. King of Fighters EX, not 2, which wasn't quite as good, but was still a good game. I think there was a Guilty Gear game that was pretty good.
Yeah. There's a Guilty Gear game for DS, but I think it's not good, is what I've heard.
Yeah, it's not a traditional Guilty Gear game. It's more like a party game.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a good chain of traditional fighting genre game, like, franchises on the GBA. And there aren't even really that many on the PSP either. I mean, there's some remixes, but there aren't any, you know, new games on there, which is kind of weird.
Well, we are way off topic. We started talking about Core, a first-person shooter for DS.
And we ended up in fighter games on the GBA.
That's right. Yes. Well, that's how this show works. Anyway, that's the end of our news roundup for this week. So we'll be back with listener mail again next week. Please send in your letters. And until then... We're out of here.
Well, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
What?
I've got DLC Mondays again.
God. Oh.
It's a good one this week.
I actually put it at the top above the news so I wouldn't forget it, and I forgot it. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to edit that out.
Okay, so for DLC Mondays this week, actually, I guess it's a better week at least.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
We have Midnight Pool for WiiWare.
Obviously, another pool game.
Yeah, another pool. Another billiards game.
Pool.
Although, wait, was the last one was a pool game too?
Yes.
Breaking.
I have a short memory.
Breaking. Yes.
Two in a row. No. That was for Virtual Console.
Yeah,
this is
but I mean, it's still
downloadable.
Two pool games in DLC Monday.
Right.
Who is asking for these?
Seriously, and Wii Play has. Apparently one of the better pool games.
And whoever's
Wii,
asking
still
for
shitty.
These, stop.
Yeah.
This is from Gameloft again. This is another one of their.
Oh, no.
There you go.
It's like, well, it's like
800 points.
It's like pool games on the new Hudson Shooters.
No.
So sad.
They're in this season. Pool games.
All right. Well, it's 800 points on WiiWare. I don't know much else about it.
No, it's kind of out
but
of the blue, isn't it?
It's pool. Yeah, it's cool.
Is it like
apparently,
Midnight Pool? Like...
What I will say is it does have, I'd love this, it has like five or six quote-unquote characters. And they are
good.
Quite possibly the greatest characters ever created. When you were dealing with someone called John the Sheriff. What the hell?
No, there aren't many video games in which you can play a sheriff.
Yeah, but it's like, what the hell? Like, could you be any more generic? John,
so maybe Choaniki.
But then you say, well, that's not that. That's generic. So then when you want something that's a bit more like, you get a sense of a real individual person that the developers concocted in their minds, you get Allison the biologist, which, you know, I mean,
whoa.
That's and it's just like really funny because in the description,
it's a new Lara Croft.
It says like six of the top players on the circuit, but apparently this is not a professional circuit because they all have really important other jobs. What the hell? All right, that apparently define their entire existence.
I invite you all to go have a look at John the Sheriff, as I have just linked to you in the chat.
We also have Bob the Coroner.
Because Bob. Oh, that's oddly specific title to have.
No, that one's a joke.
Yeah. Oh, but good.
I like it.
I do like John the Sheriff's haircut.
What about Godfrey the Blood Spatter Analyst? I like that.
Godfrey the Human Fertility Expert?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good, yeah. Okay, well, moving on, we also have, finally, Mega Man for Virtual Console. This is the NES game, 500 points. It's not nearly the best Mega Man game.
No.
It's the original, and they were ironing out some of the design elements.
Yeah.
Mega Man 2 is certainly the definitive Mega Man game, or Mega Man 3 is also excellent. But the original is good. It's one of the best Virtual Console games we've had in a really long time.
That's not saying a whole lot, though.
No, it's not. But again, it's not the best Mega Man game, but if you're a fan of the series, there's probably actually a good chance you haven't played the first one. A lot of people like me started with Mega Man 2, and then for me it was, I remember being at the rental store and seeing the really god-awful, infamous box art
yes.
for the original
yes.
Mega Man game. And at first, because the art is so terrible on the box, I didn't, for a long time, I saw it on there, like week after week I would go to the store, and I just didn't associate it with Mega Man 2, because it doesn't look anything like Mega Man
on
the box.
No, it looks like so.
And
But Mega Man 2's no better. It had that terrible box art. In fact, I'd say
it's a little better. Mega Man
2's
box art's a little
better. A little, but it's still absolutely abomination.
But I had played Mega Man 2 and loved it. And I finally just, you know, got desperate. There was nothing else that looked interesting. I started to flip over the boxes. I looked at the back at the screenshots, and I'm like, oh, it's that Mega Man.
Yep.
I got to play this. So I took it home. I was kind of puzzled at some of the things. Like, there are these little dots. It has a score. It keeps your score. It has, like, points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only Mega Man game like that. And it only has six bosses instead of eight. It's actually harder than probably any other Mega Man game that came after it. It's really hard.
Well,
maybe not
the original X. That game was brutal.
Nah, I think the original Mega Man's probably the hardest of all of them. Anyway,
and since
it's not for everyone, but if you're a Mega Man fan and you haven't already played it and you don't have it on Anniversary Collection, I think this is worth downloading. It's really interesting. It is a good game. It's very challenging. So,
and in the interest of fairness, since we've ripped on Mega Man 1 and 2's box art, Mega Man 3's box art moves away from the bulky hero-looking guy to Elmer Fudd in a muscle suit with the laser beam coming out of his hand, shooting a tin can with like sparky arms. So Mega Man 3 box art, not good. Mega Man 4 box art, I believe, is where these thing actually stopped looking ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Mega Man 4 actually looks like Mega
Man. Well, no, Mega
Man
4 still has the ridiculous face on Mega Man, though. But it's getting better. And then I think 5, it actually fixes itself. By then, we're already into the SNES territory?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, we're in the NES, and it looks better.
Yeah, 6.
But his face still looks silly. And then in
What I'm saying is the Super NES was out by the time 5 was released.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Six.
Yeah, and
yeah,
then,
so
and then,
we are in the SNES era, but no, those games
yeah,
are both
Yeah, because Mega
NES.
Man 6 is on the NES, too, because it's got him
yes.
in his ridiculous red suit flying with the bird. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And then in... Yeah.
Wait, but that red suit is not ridiculous. It's the coolest thing they ever put in a Mega Man game, okay?
No, it's not.
It's the jetpack.
It looks
it's
looks
an unlimited
ridiculous on the
for
cover,
Mega Man.
Though.
It's so cool. It's awesome.
It's
the only reason to play Mega Man 6.
The cover of Mega Man 6
awesome.
Is actually a step back because it has the three of the villains standing on like a castle in which they must be 20 feet tall because they make the castle look ridiculously tiny. And in fact, they could not fit out the door they have walked out to be on the turrets of the castle.
Okay, well, that's the history of Mega Man box art brought to you by James Jones, who has to edit this podcast.
Expect you to produce one of those T-shirts with an image of like the evolution of box art, but one after the other.
I could just do a feature on it if you would prefer it that way.
As long as that image is in there.
There you go. The feature ideas write themselves, don't they?
No.
No, they don't.
That's a common misconception on the part of our staff, Johnny.
Yes, it is.
No, I think the ideas are a dime a dozen. It's people actually willing to do the legwork.
I would say Mega Man 7 is the first box art that actually shows Mega Man like we envision him looking.
Okay.
It's kind of funny.
Finally, on DLC Mondays this week, we have Neo Turf Masters from Neo Geo. They just couldn't let a week slide by without a crappy Neo Geo game.
I was looking at this. This is for Europe, mind you, so this might be a bit different. But I was looking at this as like this year, this calendar year, there's been like, I think, 4 Super NES games. And like in the last 3 months, there's been 15 Neo Geo games.
Seriously, all the Neo Geo games already.
Oh, man.
Well, as we know, Neo Geo, a much more diverse and much deeper catalog of games.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a much larger catalog of games.
I don't want the original Pilot Wings or Yoshi's Island. I want Ninja Combat.
I think I remember 4-4.
What is wrong with Nintendo?
Ninja Combat doesn't deserve derision simply because it was so bold in its naming. It actually told you what you would get when you bought it. You would get Ninja Combat.
Neo Turf Masters is pretty bold in its naming.
No, because it could be about football.
It sounds like one of those fancy new AstroTurf types.
Yeah.
Astro
Neo. This is the Neo Turf.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a lot like grass, but it's not.
It makes me think of like surf anyway, and turf, like the meal. It makes me think of like steak and shrimp. It's just like I'm a Neo Turf.
It's a
master.
Golf game for Neo Geo. There you go. We actually already have a lot of golf games on Virtual Console, and as we've heard, a lot of golf games for Wii in general. I'm not sure that this one is necessary, but maybe it's good. Maybe we'll find out when we do the next VC Mondays.
One interesting piece of trivia I will add is that at least in the U.S. there has not been a Super NES game released on Virtual Console since St. Patrick's Day, I believe.
Sweet.
Yep. So
I think almost 6 months ago.
I think it's pretty much the same for Europe except for one, which was Pack Attack, which the U.S. had ages ago. So it's pretty much the same thing.
There has been one SNES game since March, and I was on a train when it came out, so pretty much convinced me taking weeks off from the podcast will spawn new NES releases.
Nice.
Because the last two, I think, actually came out when I wasn't on the podcast.
Oh, weird.
Get on that. That's what happened.
Okay, James, you're fired.
Yep. Nope.
More benefits to James not being on the podcast.
You're fired, Johnny.
Hey, I'm the host.
I'm the editor.
You can't fire the host.
I'm the producer. That's right. That's my new title.
Well, we're going to end the show on a power struggle. So, Tune in next week.
Maybe.
That's right.
Someone will not be back.
To see who's still on the show. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So long.
Hello, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
I draw true.
Thank you.
Getting mad at you all the time.